Hello and welcome to Radio Edu Talk. This is David Noble and Doug Etty Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening Ellen Doherty of the GTCS, and we're going to be looking at that organisation's current review of the teacher professional standards. This is the first live show of the new school session, so if you would like to get in touch with Ellen with any questions or comments, you can contact us in our usual two ways. You can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk or pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag Edutalk. Welcome to Radio Edutalk, Ellen.
Thanks very much, David. I'm really, really glad to join the conversation tonight. I'm really pleased that we're the first on the radio for the new session as well, because we're keen to have this conversation with the profession. So where do you start? You start at the beginning, so off we go.
And could you give listeners a kind of brief background to your own career, particularly in relation to your present role?
I think probably the most important thing that I would want folk to know is that they're actually dealing with a teacher when they're dealing with me at the GTC. I've got the title of Director of Education, Registration and Professional Learning. Very long title, very small person. But actually, I've taken a journey like any other teacher. I started off as a secondary English teacher, and then worked my way up to be an assistant principal, a principal teacher of English, and then went on in 96 to be one of the education advisors in the new North Lanarkshire Council. And I covered English classics and drama. Probably one of my favourite jobs, I have to say, because I love working with teachers and talking about curriculum development. But after a time, I had an opportunity to go for promotion as an education officer, which let me work with a wider range of education professionals in a geographical area on a variety of things, including personnel. So that was a bit of an education. And then, because I'd been in the kind of personnel zone, I was missing the education conversation, and took the opportunity of a secondment at the GTC to lead on professional update for 2 years. And I've been in post now for just about past 1 year as the director. So it's been a really interesting journey along the way. But certainly, I feel as if I've always remained with the teaching workforce, because I think that's still today how I view myself, first and foremost, as a teacher, thinking as a teacher and thinking about the impact that we can have.
And what about the organisation itself then? On Edutalk we have many international listeners and listeners from the rest of the United Kingdom. So can you give us a flavour of the kind of function and the activities of the General Teaching Council for Scotland?
Absolutely. I think probably when I talk about the General Teaching Council, I'm quite proud of that, simply because we were the first teaching council to be established in the world, and that was in 1965. And that was developed as a result of teachers wanting to promote their teacher professionalism, and equally it was endorsed and supported by teachers, trade unions as well, as a way of developing, recognising and valuing the profession. So it's developed from there. We've changed lately in 2012 because of legislation. Prior to that, we were a part of government, but in 2012, due to legislation, we became an independent body. And that's actually something that I enjoy as a director being, because it means that we can be free thinkers. And as I say, I like to navigate across all the organisations who deal with education in Scotland, and be seen to bring that objective voice and that objective professionalism with a focus on developing education. And always at the back of it, although we're the General Teaching Council, we develop teachers to have an impact on children. So we used to be part of government. We're now completely independent as such, and we have a variety of functions. In my own function, I deal with the registration of teachers, and that can be registration of teachers from within the UK, or it can be out with the UK. And indeed, we've got the rest of the world as well. So we're very inclusive, want to take everyone in, and we set those standards for registration. So to teach in Scotland, we require you to have a degree or equivalent, to have a recognised teaching qualification, and finally, to get through into full service, we require you to have done a number of days. So there's a registration function. There's also, we are the guardian of the standards. So I'm sure that most of your listeners will be aware that we have the professional standards for teachers, from standards for full registration, which is the benchmark standard, to the period-long professional learning standard. That's for those who travel a long career in the classroom and developing expertise and accomplishment. And the third standard for leadership and management, which splits into the middle leadership and then the teacher standard as well. We're the guardian of those. And saying guardian, what we guard is the professionalism behind those standards. Another aspect that we have as part of our function is that of the teacher regulator. And sometimes I think that's the thing that people see us for first, which is looking at both the competence and conduct of teachers. And that certainly is part of our job, but we don't see that as a first part of our job. We see a first part is developing teacher professionalism. And when required, if it's a conduct issue or a competence issue, then we will, against the standard for full registration, consider whether that person remains on or off the register, or whether we need to take some middle action as well. So we have those functions. We also are the body who accredits all of the initial teacher education programmes. So there's no university can run an initial teacher education programme without us having quality controlled it at the very initial stages, looking at its content, looking at the pedagogy, and looking at the placement as well. So the world of the GTC is a really busy place, and that includes professional. So we are the organisation who manages and supports professional update, which is that five-year learning cycle for teachers against the standards. And then there's the sign-off, although we like to look at it as a learning cycle rather than a big sign-off event. So we have 73,000 on our register, and approximately 53,000 are practising teachers. So it's a very busy place. I think sometimes people think there are thousands of employees, and presently I think we've got about 65 headcount and about 58 full-time employees to take all of that forward. So small but beautifully made, David, is how I like to think about it. And we deal with a lot of people.
So the review of professional standards has begun, and we'll hear about the kind of first couple of phases shortly. But just before you kind of give us an introduction to the present review, could you maybe take us back to the Teaching Scotland's Future report and the last review or rewriting of the professional standards, just to give it some context?
Absolutely. Certainly, we've had suites of standards previously, but the ones which exist at present, came into force in 2012. So they've been in for a period of 5 years, and we gave a commitment after that five-year period to have a look at them. It's simply good practice. You mentioned Teaching Scotland's Future, and that was very important in shaping the standards as they are now. In terms of the standard for full registration, the career-long professional learning and the leadership and management. And the standards as they are just now deal with all those dimensions of Donaldson about that commitment to career-long learning. You're coming in as a teacher and you are learning with and for your pupils to give them the best opportunities in life. Equally embodied in Donaldson was that idea of leadership at all levels, the leader of learning to the leader of the school, and equally to looking at the teacher as a learner and making that learning journey, being the inquiring professional, engaging in research, and also having a set of professional values that run through everything that they do. And for those children who are disengaged or who are impoverished, and bringing in those dimensions of social justice. So Donaldson was formative in the thinking, and we hope permeates all of the standards and all of the best practice that was outlined in there, because what we did in designing those standards in 2012 was really looking at teaching Scotland's future and the impact that teaching can have on the nation and the children of the nation in the future. So there's very strong fundamentals put in those standards, and you can see them from the structures, the values at the beginning of social justice, integrity, trust, respect, professional commitment, leadership being at the core, and interesting, learning for sustainability, which is that idea of educating for the future, and then going through the standards and looking at professional actions, professional knowledge, professional skills and understanding. So I would say it was pivotal, and clearly it's now a good point in time since Donaldson as well. And we've had the Donaldson Review, which indicates that, yes, it has had an impact, but it's a bit like a school report. When you do a review of something, you're doing well, but still more to do. And what we're doing with the review of the standards is really stopping and thinking and saying, are they still fit for purpose for our teachers? Because they are the teacher standards, although they're called the GTC standards. We're very keen that the teachers own the standards, take that ownership. Just of late, they've been looked at by the OECD in the December report of 2015 to do with curriculum for excellence. And it talks about the standards being an inspiring set of professional standards. So the ideas are great, but actually they are still to impact fully on the classroom. And we're understanding of that. It's a busy world out there. But the more they impact on the classroom, the bigger the difference they will make. So where we go with the future of the standards is in that direction, to have an impact on the classroom.
And as you were kind of sort of designing the review, and they talk about it being in three phases over 2 years, but as you were putting together your kind of plan of action, were any lessons learned from previous consultations and previous kind of so-called national conversations?
There was. Actually, I think in the standards of 2012, we did involve people. Absolutely, involvement was really important. But one of the things that we got fed back to us, either directly or indirectly, is yes, we asked people, but we only asked certain people to develop the standards. And I think we asked the right people. Otherwise, I think the judgment of an inspiring set of standards would not have been really decided upon. And that word inspiring came not just from academics, but from those in the teaching profession who were working with the standards. But what we didn't do the last time, and what we are doing this time, is we are out there and we are talking to the teacher workforce that's in the class every day, because it's about translating the standards from paper into practice and finding out what they really mean. So we've learned that lesson. It's very easy for the GTC to say these are the teacher standards. It's very easy to say take ownership, feel empowered, think about teacher agency. But actually, teachers have to work with and discuss and feel as if they've contributed to the thinking and the reality of the standards, so that they don't become something on paper that needs translated, but something that becomes practice and informs and develops their practice over the piece. So the lesson learned, David, was we needed to listen better. And this time we are fully committed to doing that. And that's why we're going out and having this conversation, not just with teachers, because when you're dealing with a child, you're dealing with a family. When you're dealing with teachers, you're dealing with all of the paraprofessionals who work with them. And actually, it's that grouping that help inform the standards and how they can work for teachers. So I think we learned lessons and we're continuing to listen and be flexible in terms of what it is we did. And we're looking at them and we're saying teachers are very, very busy. The classroom's very busy. It's been a time of change in education and will continue to be. So actually, we're actually asking ourselves, is there too much, not in terms of the principles, but simply in terms of the number of words to try and go through when you're in a busy working life? And we're asking ourselves, we're reflecting, like the practitioners, we ask to reflect, why would we not want to behave in the same way?
And as I understand it, Ellen, the first phase is done and already well on to the second and the third phase, the actual national conversation. So can you tell us about, you know, what went on in the first couple of phases?
The first couple of phases really was that we've got a senior education team coming together and trying to plan all of this out. I suppose really it's important for people to know that I can't just decide we're doing a review of the standards. It would be lovely if I could make decisions that easily. We need to seek permission from the GTC Council to ask them that we would take. So we had to put together a structure which would allow us to look at the standards. So what we've done in the first instance is we've put some groups together. The very first group is the Strategic Steering Group. And that title itself indicates that they're giving us a sense of direction, a highly representative group. We have got teacher professional associations. We've got members of the Education Committee and GTC Council. We have got members from students' organisations. We've got members from the university and many other representative groups who are bringing their goals and their thinking to help us think about where we would want to go, and they're showing that leadership. So they are driving that, and that's headed up by the Chief Executive, Ken Muir, of the GTC. Because Ken equally is a leader at a national level. We've also got representatives from Education Scotland, Scale in that group too. So very comprehensive, very inclusive at that strategic level. We then have three operational groups, they're the workhorses, if you like. One for the standards for full registration, one for the career long professional learning standard, and one for the leadership and management. And they're the groups who are going to be pulling the standards apart, looking at the words and responding to the feedback that we get from the national conversation. And again, those groups are really focusing on teacher membership there, trade union membership there, again, very comprehensive and working together in terms of that. So we've gone through that stage, and we've had the first launch day in May of this year, really to get things started. We were looking at a day where we were setting out the parameters of the review, and we were also trying to get that vision of what it is we would want to be. So an examination of teacher professionalism, because that's what the professional standards are all about, promoting teacher professionalism and making sure that teachers are the professionals that they really would want to be. So that was the kind of first phase. What we've also got is we really need our educational souls fed a bit. And so what we have is we have a range of speakers who are coming in to examine and talk to us about key issues. So on day one, we have Professor Marjorie McMahon from Glasgow, who asked us a tough question about the standards? How do you want to use them? Do you want to use them to develop the profession and take on that learning and leading role? Or do you want them there to make sure that teachers comply? And those questions were hard, and we're not sure we've come to any conclusion, nor should we as yet, because we need to ask the profession out there. And we're just about to have a meeting with Rowena Arshad, a dean professor from Edinburgh, who's going to be talking to the groups about social justice. And we're going to put that particular discussion on the GTC website so the profession can hear what Rowena has got to say, particularly now when we're facing all of those agendas presented to us by the NIF, not necessarily new agendas, but certainly the NIF is pulling some of these all together. So we've got to that particular stage and we're just about to enter into the national conversation stage where we're thinking internally and we're going outside. I suppose as well as a national conversation, David, it's a national roadshow. We want to go north, south, east and west. We want to speak to probationary teachers, newly entered teachers, early career teachers, long-serving teachers with massive experience, senior managers in the school, hearing what they've got to say about key questions. What works? What doesn't work? And what needs to change? Very simple questions, but questions clearly that will give us the clarity that we want in terms of that sense of direction. So certainly looking forward to that interaction and certainly keen to listen to what people have said. The theme underlining the national conversation is your professional standards, your professional voice. And this is a call out to the profession. Please let us know what it is you think, because if you let us know what it is you think, we will listen to you and we will respond, and we hope you'll feel you have greater ownership of the professional standards.
And you mentioned the literature on the GTC website around this review and the national conversation that you intend to engage children and young people. I'm wondering how you intend to go about that. That sounds to me quite tricky on the face of it.
It is, isn't it, really? It is. It's tricky because how many voices can you listen to? So you have to manage that carefully. But I think one of the things, again, you'd asked me a question there about what did you learn? And we asked ourselves, did we really work with our partners the way we should have worked with our partners? We did work with some partners, but not all. And last time, we didn't ask the children what they thought. And I suppose really, if you're talking about a consumer society, not necessarily a metaphor I like, but it's the children actually who benefit from the teacher professionalism and teacher expertise. But they have a view too of what a teacher should be like, the values that they have, the way that they should be treated, about their education. And the young people of today through Curriculum for Excellence are much more effective contributors. So we are presently working with Children Scotland who have a strong track record of significant engagement with young people. And they're going to be working with us to particularly focus on the values area of the standards. When you enter into a discussion with young people of any stage, they have a very strong sense of value and we're seeking their views and also working with our parents too in terms of this as well. Because right at the beginning of the standards, it talks about working with families, paraprofessionals, engagement, about safety, all of these things in an increasingly multicultural and challenging society. And teachers are facing these, then I think as the professional body, we need to be able to support our teachers in dealing with some of these tricky issues that they're facing in the class day and daily, and knowing that their standards prepare them in a way and give them solid foundations to make decisions and considered judgments on where they take things when they're working with children and families.
Now, Ellen, we're just coming towards the end of tonight's show, and I'll just say if you're listening to the live stream, you've still got time to pose a question or make a comment on what you've heard this evening directly to Ellen, and you can do that by email or through Twitter. Just one of the last questions from myself, Ellen, is that you might talk a bit more about the actual time scale here, because it sounds like you're very much taking your time and considering things from many different angles, and I'm sure you'll be widely applauded for that. But I would imagine that eventually the review is going to lead to refresh standards and possibly some significant alterations, and one would imagine that this will have a knock-on effect to some of the content of the online portal, the MyGTCS, that a lot of all teachers will be using in some form, as well as maybe professional update and indeed programmes at initial teacher education institutions.
Absolutely. And I think some care needs to be taken here, David. You had said we're taking a two-year period of time. In this increasingly fast-changing world, why are we taking this time? This was a very considered position. We're in year three of professional update, and the last thing teachers out there who haven't yet gone through their first professional update, they don't need a change in the standards at this time. The profession is still becoming familiar with them and getting them to be practical and getting them to work. So we're going to go to the end of that five-year period to be fair to everyone. Yes, after that, there may be changes. And it's something I've struggled with. I interchange my language on a day-to-day basis. A review of the standards, a refresh of the standards. The truth is, until I listen to and until the profession responds, we won't know whether it's a review or a refresh. I think the principles, as they stand just now, are strong. It may be maybe strengthened further. But what happens after that, we're not quite sure. But because professional update is based on reflecting against the professional standards and linking professional learning to the standards, there's clearly going to be an impact on that. But I would assure folk who are listening that we understand that. And that we would be managing that very carefully and communicating effectively about any changes that take place. And we would be signalling on the website as well as the changes come in, giving in lead-in times and getting people familiar, because people need to use the standards to understand the standards and see what the changes are. So we're hoping that we will have carried out the initial stages. We will have drafts of whatever it is we have drafts of. We'll put those out for consultation. They'll go through our committees and we'll get feedback from the education and councils. We'll get feedback from the working groups as well. And then what we'll do at the end of that consultation is by 2019, we'll produce a set of standards for release 1920, because we're trying to align the revision of the standards along with the revision of COPAC, which is the Code of Professionalism and Conduct as well, because although separate, they do interface, and it's important for teachers that we're consistent and when we're changes, those changes are consistent. But the intention here is a positive one. The intention is a set of contemporary, realistic, accessible, manageable professional standards that really promote teacher professionalism and celebrate the skills and qualities of the teaching profession in Scotland. But above all, that they feel they own them and affects their day-to-day work and impacts on the children of Scotland for the best possible outcomes.
So in terms of further information, Ellen, you know, at the moment, what's available for teachers to digest and you know, what where are they going to find out, for example, about the road shows? If you want to let us know a bit about what's available or what will be available on the website. And also, I know that the GTC are at the forefront of using certain forms of social media.
I suppose, really, David, the way to look at this is we want it to be so comprehensive there is absolutely nothing that we're not considering and will use. We will be doing the launch point of this at the Scottish Learning Festival. So for folk who are listening this evening, come and see us. Don't just make us a distant organisation, the GTC, but actually it's Ellen Doherty, the director of GTC, and I was talking to her today about the professional standards. I was talking to any of the other officers who are there and we want to engage with you. So come to a stand at the Scottish Learning Festival where we've got materials where we want to engage with you. If folk are watching on or watching the website, then you'll see again that within the next 2 weeks we'll be launching this, and certainly we're going to have hashtags, etc., all linked into some of the events that we have as well. And we'll be sending out information to schools. Every single encounter that any of the education officers from the GTC has with local authorities at the end of every in-service, at the end of every training session, at the end of every interaction with GTC, we will be adding on a discussion point for the national conversation to try and be as comprehensive as we can possibly be. So it is about watching this space, making sure that the voice is heard, and going to the website to make sure that people know exactly what it is they want to do. But certainly watching around the 20th and 21st of September, that's when we're not quite taking off, but we certainly are launching the national conversation.
Ellen, thank you so much for taking time out this evening to join us on Radio EduTalk. Best wishes with this particular aspect of your work and all the many others, and we would extend an invitation for you to join us on the show sometime in the future.
We'd be delighted, David, and I have to say, really appreciate the opportunity, and tonight I think I'm hoping is the beginning of what is a very successful national conversation.